Turn to Romans chapter 9. And we're going to take these Thursday nights, and we're really going to focus on getting established in righteousness. And there's really nothing more important for you as a Christian to understand what Jesus has done. And when you are established in righteousness, it allows you to have a good time on earth. And see, our confidence is not supposed to come from our job. Our confidence is not supposed to come from the way we look. Amen. We can all thank God for that, right? Hallelujah. I'm up here with this big old fuzzy blonde head right now. Well, bam! Hallelujah. I preached in a little Baptist church in Versailles last night. And, man, I walked in there and you know, they thought, you know, this guy's going to get saved tonight. They did, man. That lady is up there, and she's doing music, and she was saying, you know, I just feel like there's somebody in here tonight, you know, that needs to receive the Lord. And she'd look over at me, you know. And I was just sitting there, and I was like, somebody does. She sang, and she's trying to get me saved, and trying to get me saved, and trying to get me saved, and dangling me a little bit over hell, and, you know, and then next thing you know, she sat down, and I got up and preached. She probably thought, somebody stop that young man from getting up there on the pulpit. Why's he got the mic for? What's wrong? Somebody stop. Somebody cart him out of here, you know? And it was funny. I just went in there and lifted up Jesus, you know, and we had an awesome time. It was a powerful service. And later she came up and she thanked me, you know. She got up and she said, you know, I came here tonight and I thought I was supposed to sing, but really I came here to get my eyes back on Jesus, you know. So it was funny. She found out I was saved, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. But our confidence is not supposed to be in anything but Jesus. Amen. And see, the thing about it is, how many know your looks can change? How many know your finances can change? How many know everything in your life can change? But Jesus never changes. And Jesus is the solid rock that we stand on. So, how many know different people draw their confidence from different things? Some people draw their confidence from how smart they are. You follow me? Some people draw their confidence from how well they do something. Some people draw their confidence from their car. You follow me? Some people, generally people look to find something to draw their confidence from. You follow me? And they can look for finances. It can be education. Like I said, it can be the way they look. It can be what family they belong to. It can be all these different things. But in reality, because everybody's looking for something to make them right. Everybody's looking for something to justify them in the eyes of other people. And really and truly, the time when this is the most in your face and sensitive would be the teenage years. You follow me? How many know teenagers are looking for something to identify with? You follow me? You're in that time where you're not sure if you're a jock or you're a redneck or you're a skateboarder or an alternative person or a rebel or a good kid. And so you're looking for something to identify with so that you can draw your confidence from that identity. You follow me? Now, you see it, it's very clear in teenage years. But even when people get older, generally they found some rock to stand on. They found something, whether it be their education or their job or something. They found something that they can stand on that makes them right or makes them good or makes them okay that they can put their confidence on. But see, how many know that, and I said earlier, all those things are shakable. You follow me? And none of those things are solid because all those things change. Now, what God wants us to do is he wants all of our confidence to come from Jesus and from his approval of us. See, if I can walk around and I can have a sense of God's love for me and God's approval of me, it separates me from this world. Because now I don't need your approval. You understand? I don't need you to approve of me. Now, when you become somebody who doesn't need other people's approval, all of a sudden you become a leader. All of a sudden you become an influencer. You understand? I wish I'd have had a hold of this stuff when I was younger. But when you are approved and you don't need the approval of any person, it kind of separates you from this world and causes you to walk different. See, most Christians, if you were to, if you throw styrofoam into the lake, it's not going to make a wave. If you take a rock and you throw it into the lake, it's going to make a wave. Most Christians live life as styrofoam. Because they're, what a strange analogy, that's the Holy Ghost. Never heard that one before. But they are on top of the water and the currents of this life, and the currents of this life carry them rather than them affecting the occurrence of this life. Amen? How many know you can be influenced or you can be an influencer? And it's difficult to be an influencer if you are needing everybody's approval and you're needing everybody to think that you're okay and that you're right. You understand? Because if you're in a constant state of that, what it does is it leaves you open to be manipulated. You follow me? Because when someone is going around looking for approval, they're looking for somebody to approve them. And when they get that approval from that person, they become dependent upon that person's opinion of them. And that person has the ability to control them with their approval and acceptance. You understand? And so what that does is that puts that individual at the mercy of that person's attitude. In other words, if this person is happy, then I'm okay. If this person is unhappy, then I'm not okay. And all of a sudden, I feel like I've got to try to make this person happy so I can be okay, because your identity is in that person and not in the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow me? And you're looking for your approval from them. And see, that's dangerous territory, like I said, because it leaves you very much living a life of being up and down, because you're in need of that person's approval to feel okay about yourself. And it might be one person, it might be two people, it might be three people, it might be everybody. And so what's happening is you're walking around with this sense of insecurity, and you're walking around with almost this hole in you, and you're looking for somebody to fill it up. And always looking, always looking, always looking for somebody to fill up your cup of approval. And you're searching, 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 searching. And you're actually not living your life. You're living your life through other people's eyes. And what ends up happening is you're trying to gain a role in the movie of your own life. You don't feel like you have the role, and you're trying to gain the role. You're trying to be good enough to get to be the person that you are. And so what happens is you walk around trying to get votes rather than actually living your life. And so what happens is this sets up an individual to live a life of insecurity, to live a life of up and down, to live a life of, and what happens is that person ends up being styrofoam on the water, Because they are not an influencer, because they are constantly looking for influence. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And what God wants is God wants all of us to be free from the fear of man. Ladies and gentlemen, the fear of man is a snare. The Word of God makes it very clear. It's a snare 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, that fear takes many forms. One of the forms we just looked at was the form of approval and acceptance. Right? And that's one of the major ones. Because you're afraid of what people might think about you. Afraid of what people might say. Afraid. And so it's almost like you're walking around naked with nothing on, and you're oh so sensitive to everyone's opinions. You hear me? See, one of the things that the Bible refers to as righteousness, it refers to righteousness as the breastplate of righteousness. When you understand righteousness, your heart is protected from the cares of this life and from the opinions of man. And you begin to become an influencer rather than someone always being influenced. You follow me? And so what God wants is He wants His children to be set free from the fear of man, from trying to gain other people's approval. See, folks, look at this. Men can't do nothing to you. The worst thing this world can deal to you is death. And that puts you right next to Jesus. The worst thing they can do to you is kill you. That's the worst. And then when you die, you go be with the Lord that you have longed to be with anyway. So you're kind of in a win-win situation. You follow me? But the thing about it is that it's amazing. A lot of times people don't fear death as much as they fear other people disapproving of them. You follow me? They fear other people's opinions of them. Now, the fear of man is a snare, and Jesus Christ wants to set us free from that snare. God wants His people to be the most confident people on this planet. Now listen to me. If your confidence comes from Jesus, then you'll never be arrogant. See, if your confidence comes from something that you have done or something that you have, that causes you to be arrogant. Can potentially cause you to be arrogant about how smart you are, arrogant about how you can do this or that, arrogant about whatever. Because it's something that you have accomplished and something that you have done and something that you are basing your rightness with. So that, man, how many, everybody says, well, you just got to be self-confident. No, you don't. You don't want to be self-confident. You want to be Christ-confident. Amen? And the world, a lot of times when you meet a confident person in the world, they come off as arrogant. And how many know you don't want to be around somebody that's arrogant? No, you don't. Nobody does. Nobody enjoys being around an arrogant person. Because when you're around someone who's arrogant, it always makes you feel low. See, when you're around someone who has their confidence in Jesus Christ and what Jesus has done, their confidence doesn't push you down. Their confidence lifts you up. Their confidence gets out of them and gets onto you, because when you're around somebody that has nothing that they have to prove, then they are free to build those up around them, because they're not trying to compete with them and jockey with them for position for approval. God has enough approval for all of us. We don't have to try to earn God's approval. Amen? And many of us, we were maybe raised or maybe grew up in an environment where one person was pitted against another person, and, you know, this person got this, so now you want to get that. And a lot of us have learned how to be loved according to what we have done, which caused us to believe there wasn't enough for everybody. And so our confidence was a result of our insecurity, and we had to go around tearing other people down so we could feel better about ourselves. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're confident in Jesus, you recognize, number one, you did nothing to earn it. Number two, it was a total gift. And number three, when God thinks you're awesome, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If God Almighty thinks you're awesome, then it does not matter what the person down the street thinks. It does not matter what your friends think. It does not matter what anybody thinks. It only matters what he thinks. And when you know that God thinks that you're awesome, it causes a confidence to arise in you that is a healthy confidence, a confidence that is born of Jesus, and that confidence will never display itself in arrogance. That confidence will display itself in a peace and humility, and you can go around lifting other people up, helping people, encouraging people, because you know God's approval is big enough for the whole earth. We're not trying to jockey for position with Father God. No, there's plenty of blood to go around. Amen? There's plenty of blood of Jesus. And so God wants his people to have a sense of confidence that comes from the Lord. And it's sad because we've seen less confidence in Christians than in people of the world because the covenants have been mixed. You know, if I'm standing up here and you know, if you have a relationship with somebody and one minute they're yelling at you and the next minute they're telling you they love you and then they're yelling at you, then they hit you with the baseball bat and then they tell you that they love you, how many know it's going to be difficult to develop confidence in that person? And it's going to be impossible to love that person. Well, what's happened is the way people have preached the gospel is they preach enough goodness of God to draw people in, and then they preach the Louisville Slugger God, Louisville Slugger Jehovah. And you know, get right with God, get right with God. Okay. Now God's gonna get you. God's gonna get you. God. Oh, he loves you. Oh, God. See, now that's confusing, isn't it? And it's so sad because Christians, they get born again, and now they're not sure if God's mad at. They're in a world that hates them. You follow me? How many know the world hates Christians? Hey, man, that's how it is down here. Amen. That's okay. I'll take it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to heaven. That's where I'm going to live forever. This is all just temporary down here. And so you're living in a world that hates you, and at the same time, you're not really sure if God likes you or not. So here we are. We got these Christians getting attacked by the world, and they think God's mad at them, so they have no confidence. And they spend their lives trying to earn God's approval in good works that are actually based in selfishness. And there's no love towards them or through them. And then they become religion, and they really kind of give God a bad name. Now, you can't blame them. You must blame the doctrine, the teaching. See, we're all a result today of what we believe. Can I get amen? Your actions are based on what you believe. Amen? You came here tonight because you believed that something good was going to happen. And then you just saw me and you were like, well, praise God. And I did my very best to get out of the way and let Jesus come in here so we'd have a good time. Amen? But so we don't blame these people. But when you're taught wrong, you're going to act wrong. So Christians have lacked confidence because the covenants have been mixed, okay? So what God wants to do, bring us over into the new covenant so that the Christians, how many know a confident person has influence? Can I get amen? When someone is confident, you know, even if you go into a store or you go into, let me make this statement to you. Love is not something weak and submissive. You understand that? Because the devil, well, you trying to walk in love in your own ability, and then you're just thinking you got to be weak and submissive towards everybody. And then next thing you know, you have no confidence, but you think you're walking in love. You hear what I'm saying tonight? It's a very good point. No. When you are confident, you see, God does not want you to be a doormat. God does not want you, you know, he said turn the other cheek. He didn't say that he's going to hit it. you follow me? How many know nobody ever touched Jesus until he laid down his life? And how many know they tried to kill him over and over again, and they couldn't? You know why? Because Jesus was a confident man that walked in love because he knew that he was loved. So when we, see, when you try, this is, praise the Lord, here we go. When you try to walk in love without joy, you'll probably end up depressed. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see what I'm saying? And when you're trying to, sometimes, you know, you have this attitude of love where I just got to be subservient. I just got to be subservient. And the Bible does say we serve one another in love. But if you are subservient without joy and without confidence, what it does is it kind of, it sets you up to be used, to be disdained, and to be looked down upon. So God, number one, wants you to be confident in his approval of you so that when you walk, you have joy and you have peace and you love those around you. But at the see, folks, when you're joyful and you're confident, you have influence. People don't see you as a doormat. People recognize that's a strong person. Can I get amen? And it allows you to love without being used because you're doing it in truth. Now, there are times when you're going to love somebody and they ain't going to love you back and you're going to have to shake the dust off your feet and just keep rolling. Because the bottom line is this, it's between you and God. Can I get an amen? It's the truth. This life is not really and truly, it's as much as we are one in the body of Christ, our relationship with God is just us and God. Amen? Important to remember that and keep that in mind. So what God wants is he wants some confident Christians who know that they're approved, know that they're right with God, joyful, peaceful, and loving. And you cannot have any of those things if you don't know you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? When you know that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it cuts you off from being manipulated. Look, if I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, I really don't care at all what anybody has to say about me. Can I get amen? It doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, as I continue to preach this gospel, I get persecuted more and more. And I think it's great. I really do. It does not bother me at all. This is a part of the call. The fact that they're persecuting me just proves that I'm preaching the gospel. So when I hear about it, I love it. I maybe shouldn't enjoy it as much as I do. But when people tell me about things that people said about me, oh, yes. You know, because who cares? Does it really matter what so-and-so has to say about you? It really doesn't, does it? Now, listen to me. The more you get established in righteousness, the more you get free from people. And when you're free from people, then you can begin to enjoy life. Because you know what? Everybody ain't going to like you. There are going to be people that don't like you. There are going to be people that try to pick on you. There are going to be people that try to act like they're better than you. There are going to be people. How many people stink? Can I get a, you know what I'm saying? You know why people stink? Because they have a flesh. You know, if Christians stink, you know heathen are going to stink. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so, you know, that's one of the great things that my son has been learning about public school is not everybody makes right choices. And it's cool because he recognizes he doesn't have to make the choices that other people make. And you know, there's a time where I just wanted to shelter him and just never let him. And that's really not a wise decision because how many know this world is here and you got to live in it. And the reality is there are people that aren't cool. And they never will be. Okay? Our job is to focus on Jesus and allow this righteousness to develop in us to where I am so confident of God's approval of me, it does not matter what any man has to say about me, any woman, any person, any devil, because the breastplate of righteousness is on me, robe of righteousness is on my back, I'm a son of God, I am confident, I'm approved of God. At that point, I become a person of influence and not a person that is influenced by the world. You follow me? So on Thursday nights, we're going to begin, unless God instructs me otherwise, we're going to begin to really take a look at righteousness and what it is, because unless you are preaching the righteousness which is of faith, you are not preaching the gospel. This is reality. If you are not justified by faith, you are not hearing the gospel. God love them all. I don't care how many, because this is the whole purpose of Jesus dying for our sins, is so that we could be made right with God by birth. Amen. Not by behavior, not by works, not by what we have done, but purely by a gift that was given by the blood. Amen. That's it, okay? So we're going to take this, we're going to take time, and see, this is what I really want, is I want this to develop inside of you so strong that it causes you to actually be the person God created you to be. God created every one of us in here to be confident, joyful, happy people who are influencers, not influenced. But what happens is, if you don't know that you're the righteousness of God, it causes you to begin to develop an image that's not you. And you hide behind this image because you use this image to gain approval from other people when you were in the world. You follow me? Because inside of every single person is the desire to be accepted, is the desire to be approved of. You are born with that in you because you are born with the fallen nature. It really don't kick in until the conscience kicks in. How many of a two-year-old kid don't give a flying squat what you think about them? They don't care. They, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're going to run around in their diaper. They're going to throw their stick. Somebody over there talking about, they have no conscience of other people's opinions. Ladies and gentlemen, I love kids because they are so free. Y'all like that? I don't know if there's ever been a child that actually did that. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Johnny, are you okay? Come here, son. Come out in Jesus' name. I'm just kidding. Baby, are you all right? Yeah, really. Well said. Amen. But when they're that age, they don't know. You follow me? They're free. The law has not come. Their conscience has not been defiled. Now, what God, but then once they get past that point, they begin to learn how to be something for somebody else's approval. It doesn't have to be that way, you know, but most of the time it is. And so over time, it's like, all right, with one group of people, I had to act this way. So here's a new mask. With this group of people, I had to ask this, I had to act this way. So here's a new mask. So a lot of times when people come to Jesus, they got 85 masks on. And they have no idea who they are. They just don't know who they are. Because they spend so much time seeking other people's approval and acceptance that the person they've developed into has been from outside influences and not from their own spirit man. And so what ends up happening is people are so fake because they don't know how to be real because they're in bondage to other people's opinions. Now, this what God intends is for this message specifically, to come in and to transform you from the inside out and cause that righteous nature to shine through and bust mask after mask after mask after mask after mask after mask, and you get freer and freer and freer from the inside out. And then all of a sudden, bam, you are now the person that God created you to be. You hear me? The person God created you to be. See, all of you, God knew you before you were born. Before you were born, he already knew you. And see, look, let me say this to you. He knows the person you really are. Can I get amen? He knows who you are. So when you're making mistakes and you're not doing this and you are doing this and you're failing and you're not doing this, God knows that's not actually who you are. You got to understand something. He chose you before you were born. He knows you. So that's why he has more faith in you than anybody in your life, because he made you. He created you, and he knows, no, sweetheart, you think that's the way you're supposed to act, but actually, I created you to act like this. And see, the person he created you to be is so much greater than the person the world has conformed you into being. How many of the Bible says, be ye transformed, be not conformed? Can I get amen? See, when you conform something, you are taking an outside influence and try to mold it into an image. When you transform something, you are transforming it from the inside out. How many know when the butterfly, excuse me, when the caterpillar becomes the butterfly, look at that. Lord, I hear you. Resurrection life. Did y'all see my face? No, I'm just kidding. I am repenting quietly. I'm unplugging it. Boy, that thing come on, didn't it? Mm. Hallelujah. That's what it was, wasn't it? Resurrection life waddle. Is that the gingerbread man? Whew. Talking about the mercy seat. Oh, Lord. I don't know if I should encourage that or not. Hallelujah. See, you know, what's awesome about this message is when you preach it, there's an atmosphere of liberty. Every time you preach this message, there's an atmosphere of liberty, because that heaviness of approval is not in the room. You understand? It chases it out of the room, and so we can all kind of relax and be ourselves, which is what we all long to do anyway, is to just relax, be ourselves, and just be genuine. Amen? And praise God. And then we can all do this. No, I'm just kidding. No, praise the Lord. But what this message does is it allows you to be the person that you were created to be. Amen? And it transforms you from the inside out. See, the Bible says to awake to righteousness. See, what we do is we actually wake up to who we are. You understand? Because we've all had long nights of nightmares about the person that we weren't. And Jesus comes into our room and wants to wake us up and say, look, sweetheart, this is who you are. And see, and that's what the message does, is it comes in and it awakes us to who we are. Because see, we're already awesome in him. You understand? The thing that is not awesome is our flesh and what we have learned and thought that we were. You understand? Your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions. And we've been programmed that we were a certain way. And God wants to reprogram us to the person that we actually are, because he knows we're awesome. That's why he chose us. Amen? He knew us before we were born. Amen? And so what this message does is it wakes up your identity in Christ Jesus. And it allows you to be who you are. And it allows you to be confident. It allows you to be joyful. It allows you to be comfortable in your own skin. It allows you to be who you are. See, folks, let me say something to you. There is nothing more attractive than confidence. It is. You ever seen a girl that was really pretty, but she was so self-conscious that you couldn't see how pretty she was? You understand what I'm saying? And then you can see someone who might not be as physically attractive, but because their spirit is strong and they are confident and the joy of the Lord is on them and the grace of God is upon them, they're shining Jesus. You hear me? And our our beauty is not something that is physical. Our beauty is something that comes from our spirit. And that's why the Bible says, don't let your outward adorning be this and this and this and this and this. Not saying there's anything wrong with this and this and this and this, but the true beauty comes from within. It's the truth, folks. When somebody's full of Jesus and their countenance is shining, they are beautiful. Can I get amen? This is reality. It's the truth. And that's what this message does, is it awakes us to righteousness. It allows us to be confident. It allows us to influence people around us. And it allows us to be comfortable with who we are. Amen? And sets us free from the fear of man. Now, in Romans chapter 9, and in verse 28, it says, how long have I been preaching? We have no idea. I guess it's irrelevant. Maybe a half hour or something. It's cool. Romans 9:28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now, what God's intention is he's going to cut. How many know there's a big work to do on this planet? How many know there are a lot of people that need to get saved? And how many know there are a lot of Christians that need to grow up? Amen? And the reason the church has been unable to grow up and mature is because it has been being fed something that would not produce growth. Let me say this to you. There is nothing wrong with God's DNA. How many know there are no spiritual birth defects? And when you get born again, the DNA of God is inside of you. Amen. How many know the Bible says that we are born of incorruptible seed? We are born by the Word of God. And God's DNA is in you. And how many know there's nothing wrong with God's DNA? There's nothing wrong with a person's spirit in their born-again experience. The thing about it is they have not been being fed properly so the greatness of Christ within them could come out on the outside of them. You hear me? And so we got a church that has been malnourished and unable to love, unable to have joy, unable to have peace, unable to bring forth the greatness of the seed in which it was birthed in. Okay? And the church has been a mess. And so because the church has been a mess, the world wants nothing to do with the church. And we can't get people saved if people don't want to come to Jesus. So God, through one message, okay, through the message of the gospel, through the message of Jesus Christ, he's going to take that message and he's going to save the world and he's going to mature the church with the same word. It's the most amazing thing. He saved it for the end times. How many know he saves the best wine for last? And what he's done is he's going to preach Jesus. Because do you know how you're changed from glory to glory? It's when you see Jesus. When you see this gift of righteousness that has been given to you as a gift, that's when you begin to see Jesus. When you looking into a mirror and you see the Word of God as a mirror that shows your faults, you are not seeing Jesus, you are seeing you, and you will never grow up. This is reality. The law shows you. The gospel shows you Jesus. When you see Jesus, you're happy and you're edified. When you see you, you're down. We do not open the Bible to see how we're measuring up or not measuring up. That's the wrong way to open the Bible. We open the Bible to see Jesus. One of the main ways we see Jesus is we take a look at this gift of righteousness that has been given to us, and we recognize, look, folks, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And it's the truth that this is the faith. How many know it takes faith to believe that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? You know why it takes faith? Because you physically don't have anything that you can touch, taste, see, or hear that proves it to you. You must receive it by the Word of God. But every day you make mistakes that are contrary to being the righteousness of God. So if you look at you, it would be easier for you to have more faith in the fact that you're not the righteousness of God. That's why it takes faith to believe that you are the righteousness of God, because you're the righteousness of God because of Jesus. So when you open the Word of God, you see Jesus. So this message is presented to the world, and it is a message of Jesus Christ. It's a message that you're righteous by faith. It calls in the lost. God's not going to cast you out. God loves you. All that come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. You come to God, He'll make you a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the doors are open to you, right? It's the gospel, okay? But the gospel is not just for the lost. The gospel's for the church. Because if the church doesn't have the gospel, then the church ends up looking at itself, and the church ends up never changing. So that's why this verse says, for He will finish the work. I mean, it was a big work. He's going to finish the work, and He's going to cut it short in righteousness. You see that? He's going to cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. Now, thus far, man has been chugging along many times in his own ability with gifts that were given by God, and man has done his best, and it has been really bad. Occasionally, we've seen one or two shine here and there. There have been great men of God, don't get me wrong. There have been mighty women of God, don't get me wrong. But as a whole, how many know we're outnumbered by what, 7 billion? You know what I'm saying? I said, praise God. But right here at these end times, God's about to flood this earth with His grace and flood this earth with His gospel and bring everything back to Jesus, and we're going to see God do this thing. God's going to come in. He's going to say, okay, boys, y'all did your best. It's the morning of the third day. It's time for Jesus. We're going to get all eyes on Jesus, and we're going to preach a streamlined message that's going to bring a astounding growth in the body of Christ, a spiritual maturity. Not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Praise God for those things. Not talking about the gift of preaching. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. I'm talking about the character of Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? And there's going to be a sudden growth of the church, and the world's going to come in, and we're going to see people get saved and immediately begin to do greater works. We're going to see people brought into radical cause of God, and children are going to be leading people to the Lord. Children are going to be prophesying, and people that crackhead one second, preacher of righteousness the next second. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Because God is going to pour out His grace so strong that it's going to be His hand and His right arm, and He's going to do a quick work in righteousness, and there's going to be a revival hit this planet that is going to call all the pools of gray into black or white. You hear me? Everybody's going to have to choose, because everybody's going to get an opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen. How many know you ain't heard the gospel till you seen Jesus? And you ain't seen Jesus until you seen Him in somebody. And you can't see Jesus in somebody if they don't think they're right with God. Because if a Christian does not think that they're right with God, how can they shine Jesus? Can't. The Christian who does not feel like they're right with God and is full of condemnation is so self-consumed that they can't pray for anybody. They're so self-consumed that their entire existence is consumed in their own self, in their own pity party. But when a Christian knows that they're right with God, it allows them to get their attention off of themselves because they are taken care of by the blood of the Lamb. It allows them to have a confidence that's born of heaven, and they can walk knowing that they're right with God. Amen? And they can have an impact and change. Now, but we must believe it. Amen? And it's revealed from faith to faith. Amen? And what I really want to do here on Thursday nights is I want... See, check it out. As this is developed in you individually, as y'all get a hold of this, what will happen is there will be a faith that will be here in this place. Okay? Because, all right, if we're all believing the same thing, it affects the atmosphere. You understand what I'm saying? If we're all together and we're all on the same page and we're all believing the same thing, if we're all believing that we're right with God, when other people come in here, it will be easier for them to get a hold of it because we will already have believed it together. This is reality. And so what happens is as you preach this message, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and there becomes more joy, there becomes more liberty, there becomes more freedom, everybody gets relaxed, people can laugh in church, people can have a good time and just enjoy themselves, because the Bible makes it very clear where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where Jesus Christ is, there is a freedom, because every weight of trying to gain approval is lifted off your shoulders. And you can become the person you are and be as free as a 2-year-old child with the diaper on. Because we ain't going to get that free. I said, amen. Ain't nobody want to see this. Run into the mercy seat. I said, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me, I need to skip a bunch of scripture here because we obviously. Now, in Isaiah 32:17, you can turn there if you want to, but you don't have to. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Now, the work of righteousness. What does that mean? Okay. You are right now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let me just tell you a little bit something about that. You are going to have to say that. I'm telling you. Until you start saying it, it's not going to be made real to you. Because the Bible makes it very clear, and I've been wanting to teach on this forever, but we haven't got to it. The righteousness which is of faith speaketh. How many know the Bible says that by your words you are justified? By your words you are condemned. At the end of your life, you know what's going to be viewed? Your words. You know how you're getting to heaven? Your words. You declared that Jesus Christ was your Lord. That's what See, you know what carries more weight with God than anything is words. It's the truth. How many know God didn't build the earth with a hammer and nails? You know, everything that we are currently sitting on or seeing was created by a word. Words are more solid and more real than physical things. It's real important to understand that. Because how many know God spoke everything into existence? And it was spirit. When God speaks, it's spirit. And spirit created material things. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason that you are so special is you are the only created being that God has that can speak. Amen? And so that's what has separated you and made you the attention of the entire spirit world. Angels and devils are looking to see what comes out of your lips. Because what comes out of your lips determines the course of your life. And it determines who you give permission to. Ladies and gentlemen, what we learned out of the last move of God in regards to our words is all true. It is. How'd you get saved? You said something, didn't you? You didn't climb a mountain, did you? So now listen to me. In regards to your righteousness, you must say what God has said about you. Because as you speak it, see, how many know in the book of Joshua, he says, let not this word depart out of your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Then shall you make your way prosperous. You know what that word meditate means? It means to murmur. It means to speak. I used to work with this Jewish guy. And he'd come into the break room. How many old Jewish people understand some stuff? You get around a Jew, man, listen to him. For real. And this brother would come in, and he was in high school. And he'd have his little beanie thing on. And he'd go into the break room. And the thing about this guy that really astounded me is to look at him, you'd think he was a dork. But, man, he had all kinds of confidence. He knew who his God was. And he didn't care whether you liked his beanie or not. And he's got his little tassel and he's got his little prayer book. And he's going to do his thing and you can get over it. And you know what? He was blessed. Amen. But I remember he was in the break room. And, you know, I'm just watching him probably like a dork. So I'm like, ooh, he's a Jew. Can I touch you? You know, you're God's chosen people. You know. Anyway, praise God. And he would speak the word. He'd just sit there and speak the word. Old covenant. He'd just speak it. And then he'd go about his day. And I'm here to tell you right now that the words that you speak specifically concerning your righteousness. Look, nobody's going to see, you know, most people justify you because of your behavior, because of the way you look, because of what you have, right? And they're justifying only last a short time. How many know they'll give you a little pat on the back every once in a while? But how many know it eventually wears off? Okay? God has given you an eternal approval. God has declared amongst heaven and hell that you are as righteous as Jesus. It's reality. But now what you have to do is agree with his declaration in order to enjoy it. Now look, you're the only way you're getting to heaven is if you're the righteousness of God. If you're not the righteousness of God, you are not going to heaven. Okay? Now what's awesome is that righteousness is a gift. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord, and everybody in here has, you are the righteousness of God. Okay? Because of that, you get to go to heaven. Listen, folks, there's no unrighteousness in heaven. None. Not a drop. Okay? So, but for you to enjoy your righteousness, it's got to become a reality to you. Can I get amen? How many of y'all have, I'm trying to think of a way that I can say this. Okay, yeah. I was at a coffee shop doing some study, and I'm in there, and I'm doing my study and stuff, and, you know, God's just bringing people in here for me to talk to, and I'm talking to these people and witnessing to them and telling them what's going on, and now it's time for me to leave, right? So it's time for me to leave, and I've done, witnessed, and did everything I was supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. So now I'm going to leave. Only thing is, I can't find my keys, all right? Now, I can't find my keys, so I look everywhere, look like an idiot, you know what I'm saying? I said, praise God. Look everywhere. I mean, bumbling around, knocking things over. You know, done preach Jesus forever. Everything was great. Now I'm over here searching for my keys like I'm a complete whatever. Dork. Yeah, dork. I do my dork dance, you know. and I can't find it. I got to go all the way out to my car. I look around my car for my keys. I can't find my keys. I go back in. I go and I talk to the lady. Maybe my keys are in the trash. Okay, I'm trying to find my keys. I'm looking everywhere for my keys. Okay, I don't have peace. I'm not happy. And I look like a dork. Okay, that's where I'm at. Now, the whole time, they're in my bag. My keys are in my bag where I put them. Now, I looked all throughout the coffee shop. I knocked things over. I went out to my car. I'm not going to say I destroyed my witness, but I know I probably dampened it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And the whole time I had my keys. Okay? Now listen. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Did I have my keys? Yes. Did I know that I had my keys? No. Are you the righteousness of God? Do you know you're the righteousness of God? See? You see what I'm saying? I had my keys the whole time, but how many know if I had them, it wouldn't do me no good if I didn't know it? You follow me? And here we are. We have the greatest gift that has ever been given to man. This is an amazing gift. This gift, we are the righteousness of God. We have no spot, no blemish. We're as righteous as Jesus Christ. It's the truth. You can't be any, if you're less righteous than Jesus, you don't get to go to heaven. Okay? See, and what's amazing is we have what the Jews strive to attain for thousands of years, and they could never get it. They tried so hard to be right with God, and nobody could ever do it. Nobody ever did it. Nobody was, the only man that was imputed right with God was Abraham. Because he simply believed God and became God's friend. But you know what? Even Abraham wasn't the righteousness of God. He wasn't born again because Jesus hadn't died. And so now here we are, a bunch of Gentiles. And now we have what the Jews have sought after and worked for thousands of years. And we have this amazing gift. And we don't believe it in the natural realm, in the past, and don't understand it. You ever had something you didn't know how it worked? You follow me? So praise God, we got all kinds of amens on that. You know, I mean, you can have an awesome thing, but if you don't know how it works, how many of us are not doing you any good? And so here we are. Listen, what if you had an eternal source of confidence? What if you had a well that you could drink out of that would make you more confident? What if you had a well that you could drink out of that would give you joy? What if you had a well that you could drink out of that would give you peace? Ladies and gentlemen, that well is within you. Amen? That well is the gift of righteousness that has been given to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. But listen to me. The only way you drink out of that well is if you say what he says. It's important to understand that. You need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen, it's important to say in Christ Jesus. You are not righteous outside of Jesus. Your righteousness, my righteousness, is as filthy rags. We have nothing that is worthy to offer to God. And so it's important as you develop in this, to recognize your righteousness comes from a man named Jesus. So listen, if Jesus gave it to you, then you can't brag about it and you can't be prideful about it, right? And if it came from Jesus, what happens is it causes you to be beholden to Jesus. You understand? Because I've seen people get a hold of this revelation and they try to separate it from relationship. And we talked about that a little bit last Sunday. When someone thinks they're the righteousness of God, I'm righteous of God, I'm righteous of God, I'm righteousness of God, and they're not saying in Christ Jesus. They're not recognizing that it comes from Jesus. And we're going to look at that again probably this Sunday. Take a little bit closer look at that. But I said all that to say this. You got to say it, okay? The time has got to come when you've got to say it. Look, if God said it about you, is it true? Well, God needs you to say it. You know when the best time to say it is? When you've made a mistake. Now, don't just say it when you've made a mistake, because then it'll develop a connotation of condemnation to it. How many of y'all had a time in your life when you only confessed that you were healed by the stripes of Jesus when you were experiencing symptoms? Old time you heard said it. So you got so used to that that you're saying it only when you feel bad. How many know you're better off saying it not just when you feel? You understand what I'm saying? But what it really needs to become is a lifestyle, okay? A lifestyle of, you know what, I'm right with God. Amen? And you don't have to tell other people. You don't have to freak people out with your revelation. Can I get amen? You have to grab somebody in the mind, I'm the righteousness of God, you know, and they're like, oh, okay, be righteous over there, away from me, you know. You don't have to do that. But what I am saying is it exercises your spirit when you proclaim the truth of what God has done in you and for you. Can I get amen? And it says here, the work of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Amen? That righteousness brings a peace and brings a confidence. In Isaiah 54, it says that, let me see here. I'm going to close right here on this scripture. And we took a different route than what I thought. Imagine that. Come on, Lord, help me do this. Okay, there we go. Isaiah 54:14. It says, in righteousness you shall be established. How many know when you're established in something, you're rooted and grounded in it and you're confident in it. Amen? And see, that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to get established in righteousness. Okay? You're not trying to get righteous. You are righteous. See, this revelation unlocks the wealth of revelation in the Old Covenant. How many know you'd be reading through Proverbs? It says, well, blessing is upon the head of the righteous. In the house of the righteous, there is much treasure. The steps of a righteous man are order of the Lord. Da-da-da-da-da. All these things about righteousness. How many of y'all have read those? And you read and you think, man, if only I was righteous. That's not talking about me because I'm not. Because I'm somehow not good enough. But you know what? What happens is Jesus has unlocked the door of the entire blessing in the Old Covenant. So when you read that, it's talking about you. You are that righteous woman. You are that righteous man. You hear me? It's true. It's reality. And he says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Now listen, when you know you're the righteousness of God, when you're established in it, oppression can't get on you. Can I get amen? Oppression can't get on you. Depression can't even look at you. When you know you're the righteousness of God, you shall be far from oppression. You shall not fear. Listen, if you're right with God, what do you have to fear? Absolutely nothing, right? The breakdown is, are you right with God? The truth is, you are. But do you know it? Just like I need to know that I have my keys. You understand what I'm saying? If I don't know that I have my keys, they ain't doing me no good, and I'm running around acting like a fool. But if I know that I have my keys, then my keys are of value to me, okay? You are the righteousness of God tonight, but if you know it, it's of value to you. You hear what I'm saying? In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we know that we're the righteousness of God, it changes everything in our lives. And it allows the blessing of the Lord to come upon, the blessing of Abraham, to come upon us unhindered. How many of y'all would like to be rewarded according to your behavior? No, you don't. Because you know what? Sometimes you behave well and sometimes you don't. How many of y'all would like to be rewarded according to Jesus' behavior? That's what God's offering you. See? How many of y'all would like to have your prayers answered according to Jesus' behavior? See, Jesus lived a perfect life and then folded it up and stuck it inside of you. You understand? 33 and a half years of no sin and then crucified. And now, when we accept him, we step into him and we have that standard within us. How many know the Bible says he rewards us according to righteousness? How many of y'all would like to be rewarded according to his righteousness? Folks, it's the only way to be blessed in this world. And folks, when we understand this, when we believe this, we'll start to awake to righteousness. And I'm here to tell you right now, it will change who you are. And it will peel the masks off of your life. Amen? And this world needs this message right now. Really, really, really bad. Really, really bad. Amen? All right, let's stand and pray.